Okay, so we're going to turn to Psalm 119, and I'll wing it. It might even be better. Okay, so Psalm 119, and I do have some of the notes, or the outline is on the screen. Okay, so I'm using, this isn't on. Okay, that will work though. Okay, so I'm using Psalm 119 for our communion services. I don't know why I got the idea. I did a few weeks, months ago. And then last month I read a passage on the crucifixion, and I thought we need to do that. So we're coming back. This is the third section. This is called Gimel. It starts in verse 17. It works its way through to verse 24. So when you see these Hebrew letters at the beginning of each section, this is to remind you that every word in this section every verse in this section begins with that letter. So it's just a little device that the poets used and, forced their minds to think in this way. So all of these verses will start with the G sound, the G, Gimel, Gimel, or actually the first word is Gamel, Gamel, and that has to do with, it's translated, deal bountifully. So let's look at the text. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole section, and we will go from there. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. So, I had a very wonderful introduction for this. But I do remember parts of it. So that first word, deal bountifully, gamel, I think I said what the word was. I'm pretty sure that's correct. The word, sometimes it's translated recompense. And so it has the idea of giving something to somebody, and it can be negative or it can be positive. So it'll talk about the Lord recompensing Israel's enemies. That's not a positive recompense. Okay? But here it's deal bountifully. So recompense me with that I may live and keep your word. So he's wanting to gain the fruit of a deep personal relationship with God. And I've talked about this. I gave this message the title, The Inner Life of the Saint. And so in another way the word is used, it'll talk about the fruit of the almond tree, or the nuts, obviously. The nuts, the fruit. Okay, the almond tree. So the almond tree deals out, this is the result of its activity. Or the vines, or the grapes on the vines. You come to harvest, and it's dealing it out to you. It's coming to fruition. So this is the kind of thing, the thing that the psalmist is praying for is the blessing that comes from the inner spiritual life. Right? From you walk with God, you spend time in His Word, you focus on living for Him, you want to obey Him above all things, and He's saying, give me the fruit of that. Okay? So I have created a paraphrase. I've organized it. I put it on the screen sort of like a chiasm, but I don't see it as a chiasm. So don't get distracted by the way I've laid this all out. But I paraphrase the first two verses with these words. And you may want to have your Bible open to Psalm 119 to see. Okay, you see the words, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So deal bountifully so I can live and keep your word. Basically, that's the same. Open my eyes so I can see wondrous words, wonderful things from your law. So he's wanting to grow spiritually so that the Word becomes even more precious to himself. Right? That's his prayer. That's what he's asking for. The next two verses also seem to go together. He says, I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So I said, do not hide your word. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your word. And then, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. So my soul is crushed, and you might think that's he's defeat, but what he's crushed with is that inner pressure, that desire for the Word. In fact, he is saying that he's on the outside. He's a stranger on earth. But do not hide your word from me. I want to know your word more than anything. So again, we're looking at the inner man, the inner life. All right, so the next couple of verses here, 21 and 22. It says, you rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. So you rebuke those who wander away from your law. He says, take away reproach from me. I observe your word. So here we take a different turn. Verse 22, even though, wait a minute, 21 and 22. You rebuke the arrogant who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Now he's already said he's a stranger. He's like a sojourner. He's like a pilgrim. And the word for sojourner, this word is actually in Hebrew, in the Old Testament system, you may recall seeing the word sojourner in the law. And it talks about those who are people who are not native Israelites, but they're sojourners. The implication is that they are proselytes. They have adopted Judaism, but they were not native to Judaism. So there are people who are sort of second-class Jews, in a sense, in Judaism. The other Jews, well, yeah, but you weren't born. See, we were born this way. Well, he's saying, so I'm sort of on the outs, but there are people. He says, take away my reproach. Let your word be the thing that marks me. All right? And then the last two verses, he says, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. So now he's receiving criticism, but he doesn't care about that. He wants to know the word of the Lord. And the last, your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Okay. So the word of God is the thing that he listens to. He gets criticism. He gets attacks from these who are looking down on him, who are his enemies. He says, but I want to be marked by your word. And I'm counseled by your word, not by what others say. Right, so that's in essence what the psalm is saying. So let's just work through some meditations on this. I have a quote here from one of my commentaries, and if I had my other app or a machine working, I could tell you which one it was. I have the footnote there. The psalmist identifies himself as Yahweh's servant, verses 17 and 24, and views Yahweh's directions as his primary way of navigating the opposition he faces. And so I've taken this theme, the inner life of the saint, as we think about this. So first of all, this prayer is based on a relationship. He has a relationship with God. It is produced by the Word of God. He wants to live and keep your word. Open my eyes, I may behold wonderful things from your law. My soul is crushed with longing for the commandments. So there's a relationship with God, but it is built through the word of God. I would say for the saint, the person who is a believer, that as he walks with God, he should be somebody who wants to know more about the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. He has a relationship with God because of the Word. It is, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, for they shall be what? Filled. Right? So what you want, if you're walking with God, you want more of God. How do you get that? More of the Word. Hey, read the Bible every day. Spend time with the Lord. Pray. Pray for your family members. Pray for acquaintances. You walk with God. It's a prayer based on a relationship. The second thing, I probably had more to say about this, but we're just going by memory here. Prayer is a sojourner. I already told you the sojourner is somebody on the outside. Well, here we are in this world, and we see this in here. He's got these ones who, the arrogant, the cursed, they bring reproach and contempt on him. The princes speak against him. Okay? So, he's on the outside. Now, he's in Israel. The psalmist is in Israel. But he's treated like he's an outsider. Why? Because he has a relationship with God. And you go through Israel's history, and you're going to find places. Jeremiah, for example. I'm just in Jeremiah now in my Bible reading. And if you're following that same Bible schedule, that's where you are. And there's some very remarkable passages. I just read the other day the one where it says, the prophets speak falsely, and the priests, I forget exactly what their word was, they do treachery, something to that effect. He says, but woe to them. I should look that up. I should quote it exactly. Jeremiah 5, I remember that. It struck me very much. I wrote it down in my notes that day, right at the end of the chapter. Okay, there we go. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. They're not following God. They're not following the law. Okay? And my people love it so. Here he is. I'm in the middle of Israel, Jeremiah says. And you get all this falsehood. You got these priests who are walking not according to the law, according to their own will. And then he says, what will you do at the end of it? He's saying to God. Now, here we are. We live in a land though. There's lots of prosperity here. There's lots of problems. There's, you name a politician, we got problems with them. Okay? The city, I look at the newspaper and it's like, oh, these people. Well, I feel like a stranger in a strange land in this country. I mean, if you're a believer, you should feel that way. So what do you do? The inner life of the saint. You fill your heart with the Word of God. You grow in your understanding. You commune with God in your soul. You know, Jeremiah had only, he had Baruch, his assistant. He had this relative who came and said, hey, would you buy my field way out of town? It's behind the Babylonian lines. But if you would buy my field, it'd really help me out. It's like, what kind of support is that? Okay? And there he is, a stranger in a strange land. He's God's prophet. I think Jeremiah was of a priestly family, too. Like, he's, and all his relatives are opposing him. They're opposing God. So here's the soul. Here's this psalmist is speaking in the same vein. And I'll tell you, if you will walk with God and live in a place where you have a real zeal for knowing God, there are people who will profess religion but will not want to know you. But his answer is to turn to the Lord. That's where his refreshment is. So the prayer is a sojourner. Prayer based on a relationship. He knows God. Prayer is a sojourner. He's an outsider looking in, but he knows God. And the prayer is focused on God's Word. As we can see, he says, deal bountifully that I may live and keep your Word. Open my eyes so that I can see more of your Word. I can understand the wonderful things of your law. Do not hide your commandments from me. Verse 19. I'm crushed with longing for your ordinances all the time. He says, you rebuke those who are arrogant, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimony. So he is asking for the Lord to vindicate his testimony. I am observing your word, Lord. You do right for me. And he again declares, your servant meditates on your statutes, even though those who talk against him. He says, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So his prayer is focused on God's word. Well, how did this man get into this condition? Well, he's a redeemed man. Now, he is in the Old Testament times. There's a difference between him and us in the New Testament times. We are New Testament Christians, so we have the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we can draw on spiritual power that the Old Testament saint couldn't. But we have to do that through the Word. It's the Word that has power. The parable of the sower and the seed, it's obviously talking about germinating of life and so forth. But where is the power that produces that life in the new plants? It's not in the sower. It's in the seed. So if you will take, and he says the seed is the word of God, Jesus said. If you will take the word of God and you will sow it liberally into your heart, if you're a redeemed person, you're going to produce something better than Butcher Gardens in your soul. Okay? Now, Butcher Gardens is nice, but if you walk with God through his word, you're a redeemed person. You will grow and be blessed and be full of God. That's what we celebrate in the communion service. We honor God. We express our unity with him. It represents his communion with us just as we commune with him. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you that it speaks to our hearts. We pray that as we take part of the communion service, that not only would we be celebrating our relationship through the Word, but in the living Word with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.